Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialist Kimberly Weeks and strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Neo-Narcissism Podcast. Today, we are talking about reprogramming. What we mean by this in the reprogramming is it's the reprogramming of your experiences, perceptions, how you are after the relationship with the narcissist has ended and you are interacting with new, hopefully healthy people, and your perception of how those interactions are going and what your role is.
Yes.
Yes. So the reprogramming. This can be a really confusing, maybe even distressing time when you're on the outside of the relationship, you're having an interaction with maybe a new person or somebody even that you know, but the situation has some familiar tone to it. And you might want to go back to your old self-gaslighting, having the narcissist voice influence how you behave in this moment and how you reprogram yourself to have this new interaction in a healthy way that's coming from a more authentic and truthful version of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the way that you say it, because in interactions and relationship with a narcissist, we start to internalize their voice, their criticism, their sensitivities, their perceptions, like you were talking about. So there is a programming, a deep psychological programming that happens within that narcissistic and neo-narcissistic space, or narcissistic abuse space. So we internalize the voice. Even when we're away from the narcissist, when we're in relationship with them, we know exactly what the lines are, what the to-dos are and what the don'ts are, and it's like the invisible rules or the unspoken rules that everybody understands. And you understand that if you go outside of those lines, you're going to get, beat up for it or punished for it in some way. So now I agree with you, right? Interacting with more healthy individuals on the other side of the relationship and just trying to re-relate to the world after having gone through something like that or having experienced something like that, it does take, again, as we've talked about previously, a certain level of awareness to recognize that you're still functioning on that narcissistic abuse programming. And that's part of the detox and healing process is to, well, as you said, reprogram the mind. Mm-hmm.
It's a physical experience as well, because I think what can happen for a lot of people is your nervous system will be the first thing that actually reacts in that moment. So you might feel a little uncertain, nervous. What am I supposed to say, not say, do, not do? And then all the thoughts come flooding in, right? Trying to strategize around that. So it's, again, this awareness that we talked about within the forgiveness piece as well. Once you have that awareness of what's happening, how do you reprogram yourself to have a new experience in this moment? Have a new understanding or perception of what's happening? Can you relax in this moment and let it be as it's meant to be without taking the responsibility of controlling the outcome of it for somebody's comfort or whatever that might have looked like previously for you?
Yeah, and ultimately what you're talking about is, can you trust the other person to deal with how you're showing up? So that's a big piece of it. So I heard something I loved the other day, and it was a guy, and he was saying, would you rather be accepted for who you aren't or be rejected for who you are?
Ooh, that is such an incredible question. What do you think most people's answer is going to be on that?
Well, of course, there's another option. The ideal option is, well, I'd rather be accepted. I prefer to be accepted for who I am.
Yes.
Right. But when it comes to the narcissist, or when it comes to dealing with difficult situations, or like you're talking about the programming that we experience through the narcissistic abuse, it's like we adapt ourselves to be accepted for who we aren't, because who we are gets so drastically rejected. So now that's a really good question.
Well, so that statement is, would you rather be rejected for who you are or accepted for who you aren't? those are two really terrible options.
Yes. So that's, again, another double bind. Clinically, we call it the double bind between a rock and a hard place, or damned if you do, damned if you don't. In the true healing space, you arrive. I mean, it's easier to say, well, I'd rather be accepted than rejected.
For sure.
But if you're accepted for who you aren't, that is technically, if we look at it through the lens of truth, a form of rejection. And not only are you being rejected for who you are by the narcissist, but you're now rejecting who you are. And it's like a self-betrayal.
Yes.
In and of itself. So in the most healthy process, if you have to choose between one of those, you know, especially in my healing, I would much rather be rejected for who I am than accepted for who I'm not.
Yes. But the risk of that, so when you are in this healing space, though, and you're just branching out into these new experiences, that option seems like so risky, right? Like both of those would seem actually terrible, but it is the better option because you are who you are and the people who are rejecting you don't get space in your life anyway. So
don't need space in your life.
Sure. And that's the option we want. You know, we want people to choose, but in that moment, the risk of that, because it's still rejection, and all you've been really experiencing is rejection. Mm-hmm. Sounds really risky.
And it feels really risky as mm-hmm. well.
But sometimes there's health in the risk, a healthy outcome.
Yeah, because if you actually choose the harder side of it, if you mm-hmm. actually choose to be rejected for who you are, over time, you're going to weed those people out
yep.
who are rejecting towards you, and you're going to find, or the people that remain, it's almost like a filtering or a sifting, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a total mindset shift. And when we talk about reprogramming, how do you reprogram your mind to actually say it's better to be rejected for who I am, because that is that true filtering process.
Yes.
And then you can land in healthy relationships and healthy interactions with healthy people.
Mm-hmm. It might feel that you may be having the experience that you may feel like you will never have or never know what that healthy relationship or experience might look like. So that's where I think the fear of this, like, rejection for who you are can sort of take over and paralyze somebody. But I love this idea of the filtering. It's a test run. Like, this is how I show up. If it's not acceptable to you, that's a you problem, and I move on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is how you find your tribe, so they say. Yeah, your people.
Mm-hmm.
You should not have to adapt yourself to have anybody accept you
mm-hmm.
and love you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people will struggle with identity at this point because they're so used to accommodating or changing themselves. So this is where it is important to discuss the multidimensional self. We're all multidimensional. And even in healthy relationships, certain people will draw certain aspects and dynamics of you to the surface. So you'll express yourself in one way with this individual over here. And I mean, like, express your personality, you know, in this certain way, or your characteristics in a certain way over here, because that person kind of calls that forth in you through the interaction. Whereas with somebody else, they might draw something else out of you. So, you know, I think of the people I know, sometimes it's a deeper, more philosophical Brad that they draw. So there's certain interactions, right, in my experience, where it's like they draw out a philosophical Brad. Or in another situation, or with another person, it's drawing out more of a humorous Brad. And, you know, and I mean, we can talk about any combination. When you have those dynamics of personality traits and deep character traits, yeah, the environment or the individuals will draw certain aspects of you out. So we do adapt socially. It's wise to be able to adapt socially in that way. You just don't want to over accommodate and take on the ownership that you have to be a certain person to keep that person comfortable or to receive the acceptance of that person.
Yeah. This is a really good distinction.
Yeah.
Yes. But as you're talking there, Brad, what I hear you say, like, all those components are still truthful parts of you. So I do think it's in the accommodation. Is there something about accommodation that feels less truthful of who you are, right? Whereas somebody is drawing out certain parts of your personality in certain situations, it's still you that's showing up. And that's not really actually adapted, even though it's sort of a word that we're using. It's still authentically you. In the accommodation, there's a call to not show up as you or to dial down certain parts of yourself. You're not acceptable as is, as you show up when you're accommodating. I think that's the distinction there.
Yeah. And I would say like over accommodating. It is okay to, this is where it kind of gets into semantics, but yeah.
Accommodating to someone's discomfort.
Right. Okay.
Accommodating to someone's comfort or discomfort. Mm-hmm. That you are somehow not acceptable and responsible for their experience. Mm-hmm. As opposed to coming from just like a kind and loving place to be like, oh, I know my person right now is sort of having this experience. So I'm like calibrating to them to support them in a healthy way, but I'm not giving up any part of myself. This is a natural part of who I am and how I love this person. Not a manipulated call or demand from them for you to be a different person.
Yes, that's another very key and important distinction as well. Yeah, and you can usually feel when you're being authentic and, yeah, when you're manipulating yourself and contorting, is that the word?
Yeah.
Yeah, contorting yourself to appease a narcissistic spirit, right?
Yeah, to appease them or also to avoid the drama that you're going to run into when you leave this particular situation. Yeah, for your own self-preservation.
Well, and I think that's the important part is for people not to beat themselves up for having over-accommodated the way they did. It is a self-preservation given the circumstance and the situation. It's actually a fairly smart thing to do. On the outside of the relationship and the narcissistic context, that's where you then have this opportunity for the reprogramming. So the ability to actually show up authentically in that moment as you're talking about, right? And finding those that are able to accept that and trusting that if somebody has a difficult time with the way that you're showing up, they're either able to bring that to the table to have mature, meaningful conversation about it, or they're mature enough to go, oh, that's just that person. I accept that person, even if something might not be comfortable to them.
Yes. Beautiful. It's beautifully said. So when you're in those moments of having the opportunity of a test for reprogramming, if you can and it feels safe to trust in yourself, as Brad was talking about, that you're showing up as you and trust the other person, they have the capacity to allow that and make space for that and welcome it.
I like that. Make space and welcome, right? Really the holding of the space for you to just truly be you. Now, again, this is where, you know, we talk about the steps. Okay, how do you go about actually doing this? And how do you know if you're over-accommodating? How do you know when it's time to catch the program that's in there, catch that critical narcissistic voice or influence and interrupt it? Again, we start with awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you experiencing in that moment? So what is your physical experience, your cognitive experience? What emotions are you feeling? What's happening? And is there a reference to something in the past that you're wanting to accommodate now?
Yeah. Are those unspoken rules screaming at you in that moment in any of those ways? Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad you touch on that. You can gain the awareness through any one of those channels that you just described.
How about also allowing yourself some grace to not be so perfect? Because part of the constrictions of being in a narcissistic relationship make you feel like, I mean, there's so many rules and restrictions that you have to execute something so specifically and perfectly. That's not the real world. We are all humans. We show up sometimes not in our best self. And it actually is still okay for those people who have the capacity to understand that we all show up sometimes not in our best self. And you aren't punished for that. So it feels risky in the moment to test that and to just be like, I'm here. This is how I'm showing up. Nervous, unsure, maybe laughing inappropriately, whatever it might be. That's okay. You're still showing up as you. You're showing up as you as you're healing through this process and trying something new.
And there's a really important piece in there that I want to speak to. this idea of showing up perfectly, of course, the more perfect you show up for a narcissist, the more out of control they become, or the more unleashed they become in their need to regain control and the need to put you in your place. So the more perfect you try to be, because if you show up perfect in a situation, they can't point any fingers of blame onto somebody else and put anything on somebody else. So then they have to get so nitpicky at your imperfection. So then you go, okay, well, I need to correct that then too, to become perfect, so I'm not triggering the narcissist, or I'm not getting punished for not being perfect. It's never good enough. And the better you get, the worse the narcissist gets. They go on a rampage. They become more provoking to you. They will be more gaslighting. They'll be more cutting. They'll be more everything to try to get you off of that path. So it's impossible. So in the reprogramming process, what is so important to do is to recognize that perfection isn't the goal. The goal is recovery. So you'll never be a perfect person. None of us will ever be a perfect person. That's where I recommend perfect your recovery. So it's like, okay, I had a strong reaction to something, or I got triggered by something. How quick can I recover from that triggering? If I reacted stronger to somebody than I wanted to, or a situation than I wanted to, how quickly, again, can I recover? How quickly can I recognize, oh, there's something going on for me, or I internalize the criticism, or I displace the criticism onto somebody else, where you look at that and go, why did I do that? I'm not interested in doing that. That's not me. Then that's where it's like, okay, hold on. Sorry, right? And recovery from that point. How do you regain your authentic self? How do you regain the respect and dignity of others, right? Mm-hmm. And interact in them.
I'm really glad you pulled that apart, particularly that perfection thing. I think that was so key to say that, you know, as perfect as you show up, that actually angers them even more and they get more controlling. Yeah. Part of that is to, if they can't outwardly focus on you and your imperfections, then they're only left to actually see how they're behaving and their imperfection. That's why the focus is outside of them, because they cannot tolerate themselves, actually.
Yes. And I've seen this numerous times. I experienced this myself. The better you get at meeting the demands, the more crazy, for lack of a better word, the more crazy things become. And yeah.
Outrageous.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. So you're going to have opportunities to practice reprogramming and being your authentic self, whatever that means, because it's going to be part of the recovery, is the discovery of that. And it can be playful, if you could put that tone on it, to learn about yourself and to try on those parts of yourself that you remember or feel familiar with again and see how they play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just show up as yourself. Yes. And see how the world responds to that. Again, we aren't for everyone, and, you know, not everyone is for us. And to recognize that you're going to have the haters, and you're going to have those that can be of real substance and meaningful, healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You can come to the acceptance of that. And that is a big part of the healing process, because oftentimes you're breaking patterns that existed even before the narcissist that,
yes,
might not have been as clearly seen as they are now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Such a good callback to, like, remembering that you got into a narcissistic relationship for a reason. So there's already some programming there that allowed you to be involved in this relationship. I liked you stating the fact that not everybody is for you. That's a really good thing, actually, because the gift of you is only meant for those who can withstand that gift and that light and can help balance it and can help protect it and can help it shine even more. So yeah, you're not for everybody. And that's a really good thing. Be for the people you're meant to be for.
Yeah. On that note, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.